Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Cyient Q1 FY19 earnings conference call hosted by Edelweiss Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sandeep Agarwal from Edelweiss Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thanks, Raymond. Good evening to everyone. On behalf of Edelweiss, let me welcome you to the Cyient Quarter One FY19 earnings call. We have with us the senior management of Cyient, headed by Mr. B.V.R. Mohan Reddy, along with other senior members of the team. Without further ado, I will hand over the call to Mr. Ajay Agarwal to start the proceedings. Thanks, and over to you, Ajay.
Thank you so much, Sandeep. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, especially in India time zone, and greetings for people from other time zones. I welcome you to the earnings call for first quarter of financial year 2019, ended June 30, 2018. I'm Ajay Agarwal, President and CFO. Present with me on this call is also our Executive Chairman, Mr. Mohan Reddy, and Managing Director, Krishnaboz Muthu. Before I begin, I would like to also say that there has been some delay in release of our results. What happened today, we had the board meeting, then we had a shareholder meeting, and then we had a continuing board meeting we just concluded a few minutes back. My apologies that we have not been able to give you the sufficient time. Actually, we are trying to make sure that when directors are there, we use their time for all these matters. Because of that, I think we got it backed up. We'll make sure going forward we give you sufficient time. Just a normal disclaimer, I would like to say that some of the statements in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. This call will be accompanied with investor presentation. We also made some further improvements in the investor presentation, this being a new year. Please do give us the feedback. With this, I invite Mr. Mohan Reddy to provide a brief overview of the company's performance for the quarter ended June 30, 2018.
Thank you, Ajay, and good evening to all of you, ladies and gentlemen. I once again welcome you all to this conference call. Q1 financial year 2019 was in line with our expectations on revenue, margin, and cash generation. We saw the quarterly revenue of $106.8 million, with a strong year-on-year growth of 14.3% in US dollar terms and 13.3% growth in constant currency. The services revenue grew by 1.1% quarter-on-quarter on constant currency. In rupee terms, our performance for Q1 was 1,080 crores, which is 19.1% growth year-on-year or 1.7% growth quarter-on-quarter. The operating profit for the quarter stood at 1,316 million rupees, which is an operating margin of 12.2% for this quarter. We continue to have a healthy cash balance. Currently, the cash balance is at 1,100 crores. The growth during this quarter was led by aerospace and defense, transportation, semiconductor, IoT, and analytics at 26%, 28%, and 35% respectively on year-on-year basis. Some of the business highlights for the quarter are: we acquired Belgium-based semiconductor company, ANSYM, a leading fabless custom analog and mixed signaling company that's foraying into new technologies. Actually, I feel very proud about this acquisition. We have about 56 or 54 professionals in this company, but almost half of them are PhDs. That's the technology, PhD in microelectronics. That's the type of domain expertise we've got with this acquisition. We commenced operations of JV with the Israeli partner for the unmanned aerial vehicles. We have a license for it, and we obtained an industrial license also from DIPP, which is Government of India. We also acquired 49% stake in Cyient Insights, now 100% owned by Cyient, and this should help in improving our focus in the analytics portfolio. We created a silicon solution lab for automated testing of chips, which will help us, which will help in accelerating our delivery to our clients. We received AS9100 Rev-D and ISO 9001:2015 quality certification for our facility in Melbourne, Florida. We successfully completed the AS9115A software audit for our major aero customer for our DLM facility in Mysore. We also recognized for good practices at the 6th FICCI Quality Excellence Award. We also won the Commendable Performance Award 2018 from John Deere. Our CFO, Ajay Agarwal, was recognized among the top 3 CFOs in Asia under the sell-side category for investor relations in the IT services and software category by an independent survey conducted by the institutional. As a part of our ongoing CSR initiatives, we continue to support 25 government schools supporting education of underprivileged children. Early part of this week, we on Monday laid the foundation stone for a multi-skilling center in a small suburb of Hyderabad, where we have a number of schools. We want to make sure the school children further get skilled. As a part of our initiative to increase the IT literacy, we have added 3 more signed digital centers, taking the total to 60, and we are now impacting 25,000 children on digital literacy. With this, I would like to hand over the call back to Ajay, who will take you through the detailed financial performance for the year and the quarter.
Thank you, Mohan. In terms of the performance for the quarter, you would see that we have done about $160.8 million of revenue, $143 million in services, which is a constant currency growth of 1.1%. And there is a decline in DLM on the anticipated lines, and the revenue there is $18 million. We have seen growth coming in from transportation, semiconductor, we do have a little decline in some of the industries in the particular quarter. But what I would like to say is, as far as our overall performance is concerned, it is in line with our annual plan. We did expect the first quarter to be little lean. So as far as our internal annual plan is concerned, internally we are seeing this as completely in line. North America has grown very nicely at about 14% year-on-year and 5% quarter-on-quarter. And other regions also, if you see, MEI is 16% and APAC is 12%. And if you look at our year-on-year numbers, we really have got a good 14.3% growth in dollar terms, which is almost 15% plus on constant currency, and in rupee terms, we are at about 19%, which is a good indication for us for our double-digit growth. In terms of income statement, I would say that, you know, we have, again, first thing I would say is when we see internally, we are absolutely in track with whatever annual plan we had and how we were looking at the skew for the quarter in terms of performance and also the seasonality in DLM. So overall, we have delivered the operating profit of 1316 million INR, and the margin has been 12.2%. So if you look at our services margin, we have clocked 13.2%. And what has happened in the quarter, I think we did have the wage hike, whose impact is about 70 bps, which is in line with what we planned. We did have some one-offs in terms of this particular quarter, about 200 basis points. One, I would say, is that, you know, we had lower volumes in this particular quarter. So quarter on quarter, we had an impact of about 120 basis points in terms of operational efficiency. We did get some efficiencies or betterment from the forex side, which gave us 60 basis points. And we had some one-offs, both in terms of absorption as well as some of the one-off expenses in investments, which is another 70 bits between them. So the point I'm trying to make is, if you look at excluding the one-off, we did have a 15.2% kind of a services margin, and that's what, if you look at the coming quarters with the growth guidance that we have given, we are looking at getting back to our quarter four kind of margins going forward as we move into the particular year. In terms of the profit after tax, you would see whatever is the difference. I think operating profit, I already explained what has happened. We did have strong quarter four in terms of the forward cover gains as well as some one-offs on the other income. Because of that, and I'll go into the details of the other income, so this is what is causing the profit after tax particular movement. But from the operation side, there is nothing that we should be concerned about. If you look at the ETR, we have also disclosed the ETR excluding the one-off, that's at about 25%, same as that last quarter. As I shown, a lot of growth has come from North America in this particular quarter. So because of that mix, I think our tax rate is 25%. But we are confident, you know, of extreme traction on special economic zones and full year benefit of the U.S. tax rate, and we are tracking to that 200 basis points reduction minimum year on year on tax. If I go to the next one in terms of other income, I think I would like to point out that the treasury income is in line. I think we have done better than the last quarter, despite the fact that, you know, we have invested into some investments that chairman also talked about. So I think treasury income has been growing, cash is nicely at 11 billion INR. If you see the movement on the forward curve, it was positive 46 million and it is minus 46 million for the quarter. Because our forward contract position, if you look at the chart below, is at around 67 as against 68 for the last quarter. We gained almost 4 rupees in last quarter compared to the spot rate, and this quarter we are at only at 50 paisa compared to the forward rate. And other currencies have been a little headwind for us in terms of the forward contract. But overall, I would say that, you know, in terms of other income, the way we see that overall, even if at the current rate, other income is not going to be negative. But yes, there is a change quarter on quarter because quarter four was very strong, and this change we should not see going forward. So overall, I think treasury income will continue to be strong. In terms of forward contracts, I will go into details in the next slide, which will give you an overview of where we are. No change in the policy of the company. We continue to be at 70% for next 12 months, which means we have forward contracts of about $125 million. Our forward cover rates are given in this particular table, where you will see 68 is the rate that we have for U.S. Dollar and for respective currencies. And if you see, if the current spot rate continues, not the current spot rate, we have taken it for 30th June, which was a peak, 68.8. These forward contract gains that we have are at about $2 million or about $120 million. But we also analyze whatever we have to gain on the operating profit side because the exchange rate is higher than what we are losing on other income. So there is no concern as such we have either on the policy or in, of the forward contract or in terms of what is happening overall on the earnings growth. In terms of cash generation for the quarter, I would say that, you know, there is no change in the focus on free cash flow. There is nothing extra. Except that when you look at our DSO is at 88 days compared to 80 days for the last quarter. 6 days, I would say, is the one-off. One is about 3.5 days is the impact of the foreign exchange fluctuation. And we did have a spillover of collections of about $5-6 million, which is 3 days into July. And we are getting that money in July. So our sense is that this $5 million will be extra collection in quarter two. So in terms of the free cash flow, which is 30% at 450, 445 million, we expect this DSO to get back to the normal levels in quarter two and rest of the year. And we will generate absolutely the right free cash flow in line with our plans, which is at least 40% conversion that will take place. So again, I would say both on DSO, there is no sticky debt, there is no specific account, there is a problem. I think there were 7 or 8 accounts for which we got about $5 million of collection, which spilled over to July, which is a point of time thing. So I just again want to reiterate, both on DSO and free cash flow, we feel for the year, we are absolutely right place on this. With this, may I hand over to Krishna to take us to other business highlights.
Thank you, Ajay. To give you a quick overview of the other significant developments of the quarter, as Chairman said, we finished the acquisition of Ansem NV, a fabless semiconductor company. the important or the strategic importance of this deal is that it completes our service offering or service portfolio for the design build of in the semiconductor industry. And as you can imagine, that's a core and integral part of digital technologies in many other industries. So Ansem has been working on chips that facilitate digital, and they're one of the leading players, especially at the cutting edge 7-nanometer technology. So that, we believe, complements our skills very well. There's a 51-49 JV with Bluebird Aerosystems of Israel to do some UAV kind of work. We also acquired the portion of Cyient Insights, which we didn't already own, which was 49%. So it's 100% subsidiary now, but it will also get merged into Cyient because, again, I think our key differentiator in that whole business is we're able to design and outsource chips that collect the data, actually transmit the data, and ultimately analyze the data. So it became quite important that we have a fully integrated offering and not bits and pieces in various places. We also received shareholder and RBI approval to cap foreign shareholding to 49%. That was important because we also have some India-focused projects which are premised on the fact that the business will be categorized as India design, developed, and manufactured. We believe we're in a very good situation there. And since it's required that the shareholding for such projects be less than 49%, we requested the shareholders, and we got your approval, and I'm sure some of you on the call also were voting for it, so thank you. Under the new Business Accelerator MBA program, 9 projects have come. Each will have a development cycle of 12 to 24 months, and roughly 10% of what we had forecasted for the year has been spent on the quarter. But going forward, we will also be a little bit more aggressive on that because we are also seeing some potential revenue come out quickly from these 9 initiatives. In terms of investment pipeline, Q1 has been relatively good. Ansem was a key acquisition. There was another small acquisition in the US of a machine shop, which is a precision manufacturing company, which helps us design, do prototype certification, those kind of activities. And I'll say, sorry, we continue to focus on this. We continue to proactively look at the opportunities in the 8 areas that are articulated around A and B, comms, medical, rail, RNR, SIA. Also the DLM business, if there's certain things that can enhance that business, and obviously corporate ventures and corporate investment, where if you recall, the idea between the corporate venturing was to invest in relatively small sort of new startups, which either are potential customers at a leading edge of the technology or are potential collaborators slash suppliers where we can take their technology and integrate it into into our portfolio and sell it to the customer. But net-net, I'd say we're doing quite well with the building up of that pipeline, and this was a good quarter, relatively speaking. To quickly take you through the industry outlook, I'd say first and foremost, the aerospace and defense industry is actually looking quite good. As many of you know, that's a big part of our business, and we've also had a couple of tepid years in that business. But if you look at it this quarter, we grew 26% year-on-year, which is quite a significant number. And also, while there was one acquisition, which was BNF sometime, I guess, earlier in the year, that wouldn't have really skewed the number. I mean, that would have been about 2% of that overall, of that total number. So organically itself, the aerospace business would have grown 20%+ year-on-year. And we see that momentum will continue through the rest of the year. The comms business, as you know, that was the star performer for a long time. Q1 was a little bit tepid there, but again, I'd say overall the industry is witnessing some really, really good opportunities. We are well positioned. It's just a point of time thing that in Q1 we had this little bit of a challenge, but we're quite confident that going forward we'll continue to come back to good growth. We continue to see a strong double-digit growth over there, and I don't see that there is any risk to that as we speak. The utilities and geospatial business, I'd say there is a significant change going on in the business. a lot of the traditional services are now no longer being undertaken, and where the opportunities are really in the areas of digitization, in the areas of smart technologies, be it smart grid, smart meter, smart city, whatever it's smart. And I think we're still catching up with our portfolio. We had a little bit of a challenge there in Q1. There was a degrowth even compared to last year, same quarter, and a relatively large degrowth compared to the last quarter. But again, I think we don't think that there's any further downside. You will see growth through the rest of the year, and overall for the year also will show growth. But it's one part of our business that we're just making sure that we don't run into any further challenges. But I do want to say, we do have a challenge, but it's a manageable challenge. The transportation industry, again, has been doing quite well overall, and for us also, therefore, it's been doing quite well. If you look at it year on year, we grew, I think, 30% in the transportation business, give or take. Quarter on quarter, we grew, quarter on quarter, we grew 5% actually almost. Having said that, I think we're doing quite well in the transport business, and that momentum will continue. The next business is the industrial energy and natural resources. We've had a rough couple of years here, but I think that we've turned the corner. This quarter was quite good, and especially year on year also we grew almost 7% there, and we actually are going to see a good acceleration of that growth going forward. That's probably that is a very good thing considering that we've had some challenges in that business, but those challenges are definitely behind us and we can see some strong growth going forward, so I'm quite excited about that business. The semiconductor business, like I was saying earlier, I think we have a quite a clever strategy, if I can say that about ourselves, quite a clever strategy of how we're going to manage the business, run that business, and how we're going to build a differentiator, not by just being a chip designer or a chip manufacturer, but really providing use cases around the capture of the data, transmission of the data, and analysis that can make the product itself better. That's also, if you look at it, the global semiconductor industry itself is growing at a very, very rapid pace. An industry which is in the hundreds of billions of dollars growing at double digits is not something you hear of very often, but that industry is doing that. And I think we have a very unique place because of all the competencies that we've built, starting from the silicon or the semiconductor, now with Ansem also, and through to the analytics. So, while the business has done quite well, both organically and inorganically, I think the number that you would have seen earlier includes Ansem. So that's why that's a relatively large number. It's quarter on quarter itself is 38.9%. But even if you take out Ansem, we still have some reasonable growth over there. I think we're, at least I'm quite confident that growth will continue. MT&H, that's the fastest growing part of our business and the smallest part of our business. But I think we are doing some very interesting things there. We demonstrated some during Investor Day also in May. I think we're quite confident about that business. So, net-net, I'll say the good news is the aerospace and defense growth is back, and it's back very, very strongly. Comms had an intermediate challenge, but I don't think that challenge continues. That challenge does not continue Q2 onwards. We're quite clear on where the growth is going to come from, and we're going to have another good year there. So if nothing else, if you look at the two largest industries that we have, aerospace and comms, those two are going to grow at a very good rate, which will satisfy more of the burden, if nothing else, because of nothing. We do have a little bit of a challenge specifically on the utilities part, but again, that's a small part of our business. We believe that we're also doing the right things. It's just a matter of when the revenue starts coming in, which in my opinion will be Q2, Q3 onwards. So it's not a crisis. So net-net, I feel quite confident of where we are. I feel that we have, obviously we had a very good quarter year-on-year, which I think is a good metric. The growth has been 14.1%, I think, in dollar terms, a little bit more in rupee terms. The operating profit has also grown almost above 14% compared to the last year same time. So if you look at both these parameters, the operations are very strong. It's a good, strong start to the year, and this will continue because we see the growth momentum. So if I take all that and summarize the outlook for the year, I think revenue, I'll reiterate what I said, double-digit growth in the services business. Sorry, and a good reference point is Q1, because compared to last year, Q1 grew double digits. The legacy DLM will grow about 20%. Overall DLM, which includes B&F now, will grow 35%. But again, that's mathematics, but net-net it will be good. Operating profit will grow in double digits again in FY19. OPM, I'll just take a second to articulate this. I think OPM, we're saying, will be flat, just because I think there are some operational improvements. There are obviously some upsides from exchange rates, but we're still not sure about the exact impact. And that's why on this part, we will come back to the course of the quarter or no later than the end of the quarter that, you know, exactly what the impact is. Because unfortunately, what we're seeing is the impact of exchange rate is not very, is not direct or linear in the sense that there's also mixed issues. There is on-site, offshore. There is where the cost is being incurred, et cetera, et cetera. Therefore, while we expect some upsides in exchange rates, we're also thinking of what we're also seeing is there will be a little bit of, it will take a little bit of time to assuage what exactly it is. And of course, it will be offset by investments. We talked about NBA. If you recall, we said we're targeting 1%. Might be a little bit lower than 1%, but we're trying to get to 1% because what gives us confidence is we have some great ideas, we have some great talent, we are coming up with some really cool solutions. They're selling, right? We're seeing, starting to see the first aspects of that. So we don't want to invest in it. So net-net, DLM will also improve into the solutions. So, and lastly, tax rate will be lower by 200 bps, as Ajay explained. So what I want to say net-net is, you know, the outlook remains what it is, what it was, sorry, at the beginning of the year. We're quite confident about the business. Only thing is we need a little bit more time on the OPM because we think it's going to be flat. Of course, we're accruing up all the other potential upsides, downsides, challenges, et cetera. But net-net, this is where we stand, and which is essentially very similar to what it was at the beginning of the year. So with that, I think we will turn it over for Q&A.
Sure, thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Pankaj Kapoor from GM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Krishna, can you just please elaborate on the challenges that you mentioned in the utilities and geospatial? Is it in the utility side or in the geospatial side? Are these client-specific things that you are referring to? And what is giving the confidence that this will normalize from the next quarter onwards?
Pankaj, what is the issue is really in the utility side. I think the geospatial side of the business continues to do quite well. There are some specific challenges on utilities because if you look at that business, it's quite project-driven. So, you know, we get a project, we complete it, the next project has to start. We're still having challenges with phasing of the projects. That means some of the expected ramp downs have happened or are happening, but some of the ramp ups are not exactly backing up to those ramp downs. So there's a little bit of a phasing challenge. But what gives me confidence is just the pipeline and looking at where the potential opportunities are going to come from. I think the pipeline is quite strong. We're seeing some really good opportunities there. That gives me the confidence. Also, what I'll say is, it's a relatively, if you take out the geospatial part, the utilities piece is relatively a small part of our business. It will be roughly about 8%, 7-8% of our business. Not
geospatial.
Just take out geospatial.
It's about 4-5%, right?
It'll be about 5%, 5%, 5-6%. So the challenge is quite mitigable because one is it's a small part of our business, and the second is I'd say the larger part of our business are doing quite well at this point, which means that, you know, even if there is a challenge, and I'll say that's not the intent to say that there is a challenge, but, you know, there is also a mitigation in place.
Okay, so so it's not a client specific thing. It's multiple project related issue, which is I'm presuming is across multiple clients, not with a single client.
Yes.
Okay, and although it is a little early, but any view in terms of the ongoing tariff related conflicts which are coming up, do you see any impact of that on your client ER&D related spend, if there is any kind of a push out of the product development pipelines and all? So I'm not sure if you had any conversation with the client yet on those issues, but anything if you have heard which you can share?
Yeah, I think it's too early, and I'll say, having said that, you know, a lot of our design business is also in the U.S. If you look at the work that we do for U.S. defense, it's primarily in the U.S. If you look at the work that we do for Pratt or Boeing, a lot of it is in the U.S. So, again, I think it's too early, and we're too much removed from how that value chain works. What we do is a little bit removed from the value chain. But even if it becomes an issue and we have to do more design in the U.S., I think we're prepared for it. So I'm not too worried about that at the moment.
Sure. And Ajay, can you just elaborate on these one-offs in the margin side? I couldn't get it very clearly when you were in the initial part of the presentation.
So let me explain again. If you look at what kind of challenges we had in this quarter, one has been the volume, which has impacted in two areas. One is utilization. If you see, our utilization is down by about 4% quarter on quarter. Also, if you look at our SG&A absorption, that has been impacted. So if you take both of them on the operational efficiencies and SG&A, purely on account of the volume, we do have a headwind of about 1.5%, which is when the volumes pick up, I think a lot of it can be recovered. Second, I said, both in terms of some of the M&A expenses, which were towards the acquisitions that happened, and some other SG&A, they have also been one-off. So that's another 25 to 50 bits. That's why I said we have about 200 bits. If the volumes come up, those are the one-offs which can turn around in the coming two quarters.
Okay. So essentially, I'm linking it with the earlier commentary from Krishna. So the impact on the volume side was essentially could have been in the utilities space, where the ramp downs happened and the ramp ups didn't happen as expected.
Yes.
Okay. And this ramp downs were anticipated at the start of the quarter. What probably would have been a surprise to you was the ramp ups getting delayed. Is that a fair assumption?
No. So sorry. The ramp downs were not We knew this was going to happen. If you look at it, therefore, it's not a surprise. I'm just saying what happened, right? We knew this was going to happen for a while because the projects we've been planning for a while. It's just that's why when we gave you the overall commentary on Q1 and how the overall commentary on the year and therefore how it was going to pan out, we also said therefore Q1 will be a little bit softer. So I think this is all anticipated. It's not that we got a surprise. It's just that, you know, because that was there, this is what is happening.
Sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Rateria from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, Krishna, question on communications vertical. You talked about good confidence from 2Q onwards. If you could elaborate a little bit on what's driving that confidence and growth, and secondly, what's happening on the A&D vertical with respect to services business.
Okay, there was two things on first the comms business. I think it's just these were all anticipated things. There's projects that are moving around a little bit. There's some work that we had planned to start offshoring. That transition is happening, but there's also some new work that will cover up, etc. So that gives me the confidence. I mean, basically, if you look at where the confidence comes from, it's the backlog and the pipeline, right? Because ultimately, unless it's not there in the backlog, you can't produce this work in the sense that suddenly work doesn't come, it goes through the backlog. So this backlog, some of these issues are anticipated, some of these issues are what was planned, that is, you know, for example, in one of our customers in Australia, the work which was traditionally on-site is going to be moving offshore. Some of that has started to happen, and that's also impacting the revenue because obviously the absolute number will be a little bit lower. That's also impacting cost a little bit in terms of margin because, you know, we still have the team in Australia because we're redeploying them in elsewhere, and again, that spaces the work and the POs that we have. We've built up a big team in India. The work is just ramping up, etc. So that's the confidence that I get. Now, A&D also, if you look at it, the A&D services business is growing. It's growing quite nicely. The overall growth is 26% year on year. The services business, you take off, you know, about 3% for B&F, right, because that's what I've added. So the services business is also growing at about 15-18%, something like that, because there was some growth in BLM also. So if you look at that, net-net is, one is our largest client, where we had some issues, et cetera, last year. It's come back to growth. That client grew 6% year on year. Right, and it's if the growth trajectory continues, we'll have a good year there. We have an aggressive budget, which we're quite confident of meeting. And I would say that services business on A&D has aerospace at 15.4% year-on-year growth. So if you look at the 26%, there was 2 or 3% because of BNF. There was about 6 or 7% of the traditional BLM business, but pure services grew 15.4% in aerospace and defense. The top client grew. We're ramping up 2 or 3 very, very large clients. So I'd say, you know, we've had some rough years, but we're back in the business of growth, not just business.
Great. Two more questions, Krishna. One, any status on the large orders which we're pursuing on the DLM side, which are like more synergy deals from our existing clients? And secondly, question to Ajay on margins. Last time when we provided the margin outlook, it was based on a rupee rate of, let's say, 64 to 65. Now the rupee has moved quite a bit, and despite that, margin guidance has not changed. So are we using this rupee benefit for increasing investments in the business? How should we read this?
So, Gaurav, first on the pursuits, I think there's some good pursuits that are building up. We anticipate to close some of these. Some of these are in advanced negotiations. So we'll keep you posted, but I think we haven't lost anything that is of concern. Pipeline continues to add. So in the next quarter or two, we'll start to update in a little bit more granular detail.
In terms of the margin, Gaurav, very fair comment. And I think apart from God, there are very few people who know that where this exchange rate will go in the next few quarters. But how we have seen internally, I think, Gaurav, as Krishna explained in the outlook for financial year 19, we are looking at three levels. I think volumes, we are very confident that we will have double-digit growth, which itself is a lever for operational improvement. Now, when we look at the first quarter, and you will also see that our offshoring is lower than the last quarter by about 2%, and internally also when we look at our targets, I think there has been some headwinds from the offshoring. So on the volume side, I think we should be fine. On the volume side, taking into the utilization improvement, we should be fine. Offshoring, right now, we don't have a clear visibility how much of that lever will play in the coming quarter, but we still have a lot of runway in terms of the next 9 months. As far as exchange rate is concerned, I think we are really not baking in. The way we look at it is that, you know, we have these variables of operational improvements, investments, and what comes out of the exchange rate. As Krishna explained, we are also seeing that the benefit of exchange rate is also a little muted, not exactly the way it should span out, but I think some of it also flew in the quarter towards the end of the quarter, so we have not seen the full thing. I would say theoretically, yes, if you change 64 to 65 versus whatever number you want, let's say 67 or 68, definitely there should be 100 basis points improvement in our guidance. But we are just saying that, you know, is there a scope for us to further enhance investments? Is there a headwind which may face in terms of that 100 basis points of operational improvement? And also, who knows where this exchange rate will go? That's why we are just saying 100 basis points. It is another 9 months to go. That's the honest answer for that, Gaurav.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhu Babu from Prabhudas Kelader. Please go ahead.
Sir, on the new client additions in the aerospace, so are there any new engine makers which we added, like GE or Rolls-Royce or GE?
No, it's various OEMs or systems manufacturers. We don't work with any other engine companies. Or we work with one of them in a small way, but it's also a long-standing relationship. It's not a net new kind of thing.
So another one on Boeing has started engine makers for a bid for the 797 plane. So will that lead to a pent-up demand from Pratt & Whitney? Too early for that, but yeah. Any view on that?
No, that's the expectation. Like you said, it's a little bit early for that, but that's the expectation.
Okay. And sir, on the communication side, I mean, that has been growing very fastly over the last 3-4 years. But how is the on-site effort there, and whether what is the margin profile of that SBU?
So I think if you look at the overall basis, I think communication is a average margin business. If you look at company average gross margin and the margin for communication, I think they are tracking quite at par. In terms of on-site, I think with some of the new contracts that we got in Asia Pacific and all, it's quite high. You know, our on-site margins are traditionally much lower. But in this particular case, I think they are quite high in terms of the on-site margin. Maybe about 5 to 7% lower than the company average. So that's what I would say about the communications margin.
So just one last one, the new business accelerator, can you explain us one solution, I mean, how we are selling it to the client, and just attraction over there? Thanks.
So it's basically these are things where we are generating the end product meaning not just a physical product, but an end solution. And the intellectual property of that end solution resides with us, right? So we're able to monetize it very differently than compared to just a simple simple services kind of a business, which is an FTE business. So we've been trying to, we're making sure that we don't sell the effort, which is typically what happens in the services business, but rather we sell the outcome, which is what the MBA solutions are. But having said that, I do want to say that, you know, while we are seeing some traction there, we're seeing one or two, or we've shipped some products, we've executed some solutions, the volumes won't pick up at least for another year or two, because it will take time. These are things that are long cycle. The development time is 12 to 24 months. So what I want to say is it just gives us the confidence that the market is receptive to these. That's why we're investing, or we're continuing to invest. But the revenue generation will happen, very honestly, substantial revenue generation will at least be 24 months away.
Okay, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from Ravi Menon from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So first, Ajay, it's more of a comment than a question. I don't know if we could characterize lack of SG&A absorption because of lower volume as a one-off, unless it's a due to a client bankruptcy or something. Since this is a plan to ramp down, we actually haven't got the project pipeline to ramp up. Maybe, we should really consider this as part of, how operations normally would work, because it's not always seamless handover. I think. Should we expect this volatility to continue in margins?
Your voice is not very clear. I understood your question as that how is the SG&A absorption playing out. Is that the correct understanding?
I was just saying that, we should not really look at this as a one-off, because, these things don't really, always need to hand over, right? I mean, if you're a project-based business, you do have some ramp downs and maybe, lower utilization, right? I mean, tough to keep the utilization up It would help, I think, if you could give some clarity on how long are the project durations. Is it like a couple of quarters, or is it usually a year?
So we will have to take it offline. Your voice is not clear unless somebody can repeat your question.
Sorry. Hello. Is it better now?
Yeah, this is better, Ravi.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was just saying that, I'm not sure if we should look at this SG&A absorption as a one-off, in the project-based business. We will have quarters in utilization would be lower, right? How should we look at this? Will this continue to affect margins, or, do you think that, we've now moved to slightly longer duration contracts, or will that happen over time? How should we view that?
So let me explain to you what has happened and what we meant by this. Definitely, if you look at one example of communication, right, we have seen that we have extremely good traction on that particular vertical, and volumes are going to be back. You will witness it in the next quarter itself. And if you look at our 4% reduction in utilization quarter on quarter, about 8% has come from communication. Now, the moment that volume comes, because, obviously, the business is there and people are there, and it's not for, one-off projects which are cyclic. We have that business, which is known to us, which is there in our backlog. So I think definitely you will see a swing of about 5 to 6% quarter on quarter in these kind of situations. So I would say when we have lower volumes, especially which come from the known business, we do have a position of improving the utilization very quickly.
Right, thank you. And secondly, Ajay, if we were to assume theoretically that the rupee remains where it is currently, even the 30th June end rate for the rest of the year, do you think that we should actually see a 50 to 100 basis point margin improvement, or do you think that's unlikely, that we will still be flat for a year?
So I'm saying that, as I clarified, that this equation of how much you will get from operational investments, because of the challenge on the on-site offshore in the quarter one, how it will play out, operational improvements, whether they will be 100 basis points or 50 to 100 basis points, we have to watch out. Is there a scope for us to invest more in terms of the investments? We have to watch out for the next 9 months. On the currency, what is the actual benefit given our situation of cost structure? If we have to watch out, is it 100 basis points or 50 basis points? Definitely, 50 to 100 basis points improvement is definitely there because of the currency. But how much is the headwind on other counts, and how much is the opportunity to improve on the investment? You have to give us time till H1, and we will be able to make a commentary next quarter.
Right. Thanks. And lastly, DLM, do you think that given where we are, are you still seeing a mix change over there? And, do you have a pipeline of some sort of synergy deals coming from your traditional services side?
The mix is definitely changing, and I think we're also consciously changing it. That is, we're not taking as much business that's available on some of the traditional models. We're being very careful on what we take and what we don't take. We are seeing some good opportunities coming in from the synergy customers. There's a couple that are talking about, the couple who are looking at, based on purchase orders and backlog of in the $5 to $10 million range this year itself, that is in FY19. Yeah, we're just managing that very carefully because there's also a reputational risk. That is, we don't want to drop customers very easily, but I think we're managing it in such a way that as the ramp up in the clients that we want happens, we slow down on the clients that we don't want.
All right. Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you. Next question is from Urmil Shah from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Krishna, just for better understanding, services business adjusted for the NSIM acquisition has declined even on CC terms. So if we, adjust for the decline in the utilities business, is there still a decline, or the entire decline has been driven by the utilities part?
In terms of the decline, the entire decline would be driven by the utilities part, because if you look at or even the slide that Ajay presented. A large part of the decline would have been utilities, but there are also some areas where we have seen growth, like transportation has seen some decent growth. Semiconductor without Ansem also has actually seen some decent growth. So net-net, if you take that out, it would be flat.
Sure. And you said that, you know, some of these ramp downs were anticipated both in, you know, utilities and the shift to offshore in communication was anticipated. So, you know, was there a negative surprise in any other verticals, you know, resulting in services declining on a QQ basis?
No, but not, if I look at the budget that we put together at the beginning of the year, we're pretty much spot on the budget. So that gives me the confidence that, you know, we have control over what's going on. It's this, the reality is there is going to be cyclicality in our business, and I think we know how to manage that cyclicality. So I'll say we're pretty much on the spot with budget, which gives me a great deal of confidence of where things are headed.
Fair enough. That was thankful. Lastly, on the impact of NBA on the OPM this quarter, would it be fair to assume that it was between like 30 to 40 bps, or it was still lower than that?
So if you see the impact quarter on quarter, was, you are right, about 30 to 40 bps, because already we had also spent something in quarter four.
Right. And Ajay, this during the year should increase, and for the full year it should be about 100 bps, so that, you know, in some of these quarters, the impact could be more than 100 bps.
No, so I think for the overall year, as we have said, that we are targeting towards 100 bps. As Krishna explained, right now we are tracking lower than that. But I would leave it just there. And obviously, there is going to be cyclicity within the quarter. But I would be very surprised if in any quarter it is more than 1%.
All right. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Shah from CSGCIMB Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just the first question is in terms of the margins. If I look at, I think the commentary in terms of the revenue has not changed. So we are saying that what we have anticipated at the end of last quarter, it has been coming in after the first quarter. But the commentary seems changing in terms of the margin, because as earlier been asked, we were not factoring rupee depreciation. Now we are factoring rupee depreciation and calling out a flattish kind of a margin. So if nothing has changed on the revenue side, what has changed in terms of the cost management, which is not giving us a color to say that the rupee depreciation can be an additional tailwind and the margin could be flattish on a CC basis? That's a question number one.
I think I've already explained that, you know, your guess is as good as mine, whether we will be flat or we will be marginally better because of exchange rate. I think the concerns from all of you is very valid. I would say it is just that we want to really wait and watch on three factors. Again, I'm repeating how much of operational improvements come out. The only risk that we are aware of right now is the offshoring. Since revenue is on track, as you said, utilization, we definitely see why we had 4% decline this quarter. We can catch up and that should be intact. That's one risk we are seeing. On the exchange rate, I think while we have been traditionally believing that, you know, for every 1 rupee, we get about 30 bps, I think given the current structure, which is more towards on-site, we are also revisiting that, because the impact of this, as I said, in quarter one, we could only observe when I run our constant currency P&L. I could only see it only for, you know, a quarter which was not fully impacted by the currency. So that's another thing we are saying, whether it is going to be 20 bps or is it going to be 30 bps, and some of it will keep changing quarter on quarter. So this is another, I would say, a measure of conservatism. Third, we are saying we are also seeing this as an opportunity, depending on, we are really seeing extremely good set of sufficient projects that are coming from businesses, as Krishna explained. And if currency is really a tailwind for us, we may revisit and may spend more on investment, or maybe the investments for SG and other things. I mean, that's really open. That's why we are saying that we are just being a little cautious here in terms of the variables. And who knows about the currency itself? It is not right for me to say that, you know, the currency we can factor at, somebody said, spot rate of 68.8. That will not be clear. So I think give us time till H1, and we will be very we'll be more clear by then on these variables.
Okay. And just in the first quarter, you mentioned that the Forex upside has led to a 60 basis point. So can you explain, because it looks like almost 4.5% to 5% rupee depreciation. I do agree there would be a cross-currency headwind, but it still looks lower in terms of a 60 basis point kind of impact only.
So roughly we calculated, I think currencies have been moving in different direction, and as we have been saying in this call, looking at our cost structures, on-site, offshore mix and all that, broadly I would say we saw about 20 basis points for every 1 rupee as far as quarter 1 is concerned. But I'm not saying that is going to be the norm, because, you know, the restatement of some of the WIP, some other things, if they happen one time, they will not happen every quarter. So give us some time to understand. As of now, I think what our limited understanding is about 20 basis points is changed by about 3 rupees, and that's how it is 60 basis points.
Okay. And Ajay, if you are starting with 12% and for the full year to maintain at flat at close to 14%, it's like a good ask rate in the next three quarters. So you believe the volume growth itself as a revival would bring that swing on a Q-on-Q basis?
Absolutely. I think that's for the plan.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's volume growth. There's also some operational efficiency issues that are continuing to be focused. So, yeah, absolutely.
And the last question in terms of DLM margin. So I think with an improvement in the revenue growth trajectory, how is that margin tracking, both in terms of even the revenue growth outlook and the margin outlook for the DLM?
It will be low single digits for the year. That's what we believe it will be. I think first quarter it was 3% or so, 4.6%. It'll probably come down a little bit because there's some lower margin business also that's there in the backlog. But it will be low single digit for the year.
Okay. And just, Krishna, in terms of aerospace and defense, you also said the order backlog is helping you. So just want to understand, in this cycle, when the aircraft goes into production, is it the more business which comes in terms of the order backlog to the order getting ready, where you play a role more in terms of the avionics? How you participate in a cycle from order backlog to the product being ready?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a complex answer to that, because it depends on what we are doing and which part of the cycle we're in. Because we're not a large part of our business is still design related, so the design related business has no correlation with the order backlog, because, you know, the design cycle itself precedes the. So it really depends on which part of the cycle we're working on. For design, it's one. For we do some manufacturing where what you said is very right, that is, there's a backlog needs to be delivered, we build a subsystem, etc. So it really depends on which part of the value chain that we're working on, and perhaps it warrants a site conversation or an offline conversation, and I'm sure we can set something up to take you through that cycle. Because each one is very different, and we can't, or it would not be right to generalize it.
Okay. So my question was, if you are not in design and the aircraft has come in terms of a order backlog, if we keep aside the DLM part, you still have a role to play from the order backlog of the OEM till the aircraft is ready in terms of a delivery.
Yeah, of course. From manufacturing engineering, there's manufacturing engineering, there's MRO, there's various elements. So that's also a part of the whole equation.
Okay. Thanks, and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhishek S. from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Krishna, you mentioned about, you know, the recovery in aero business. Could you just elaborate that, you know, what's driving the business in terms of, you know, the service lines? You know, what are we going to do over the next 12, 24 months? That will be helpful. Thanks.
So I think the recovery is quite broad-based. I mean, it's a set of existing customers that are growing. It's also some new additions. Avionics is doing very well, which is aerospace electronics. We're doing quite well on the mechanical side. MRO is doing well, which is the services that we provide for the aftermarket portion of the airline industry. So I'd say, you know, the numbers are quite, you know, are fairly significant because it's also a run rate there as a $200 million business that grew 15% year on year. And just coming to services, which means that the growth itself has been quite broad-based.
That's helpful. And just to follow up on that, so how are the, you know, BNF shutdown things, you know, acquisitions helping us there? If you can just help us understand that quickly. Thank you.
Sure. So where Certon comes in is if you look at aerospace electronics, there's a lot of certification, verification, validation, testing. Certon is able to automate that piece of the equation. So if you look at the value chain, Certon is the early part of the value chain that is in design to automate or help us automate a large part of the repetitive work. Now, if you look at BNF, BNF is on the other part of the value chain. That is, when we've designed something, that something, especially at a very low volume, these are very, very complex parts or tools which need to be manufactured because there's a high volume of design content there. So we're able to manufacture what we've designed. So BNF comes at that part of the value chain. So net-net, I think the fact that we're able to cover the entire value chain and have some very strong competencies is helping us quite a bit.
Thank you for taking my question.
Thank you. Next question is from Harit Shah from Reliance Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the call. Can you just give some perspective about, you know, your... Hello?
Yes, we're here.
Yeah, so I just want to get a perspective of, you know, what happened specifically in Europe in this particular quarter. Was it, again, mainly because of utilities, the utilities vertical, or was there any specific, you know, events or that you would like to call out or that? Because, you know, your U.S. growth was quite healthy, but, you know, Europe obviously was a bit of a disappointment, and especially given that, you know, a lot of, you know, other IT firms or, you know, I mean, obviously you're not necessarily comparable directly with an, you know, with an IT firm, but, you know, generally IT firms are seeing pretty good traction in that particular region. So if you could really just give some perspective on that, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Honestly, it's just a point in time thing. I think a lot of the utilities business also, or at least the anticipated utilities business, was Europe-centric. Also, there were some good projects that we did towards the end of last quarter in Europe, which would have come down. Also, I mean, I wouldn't read too much into it. It's one quarter. If you look at all of last year, Europe did very well. It's just one quarter. And also, the rest of the year, we don't see any challenges in Europe. So I wouldn't read too much into what happened in one quarter.
Right. Okay. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much. Due to time constraints, we'll take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference back to Mr. Sandeep Agarwal for closing comments. Mr. Sandeep Agarwal from Edelweiss Securities.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, everyone, for participating in the call. I will hand over the call again to Mr. Ajay Agarwal for closing comments and the management.
Would you like to make any closing comments?
I guess... the quarter was challenging in terms of margins, but I'd like to assure our investors that moving forward in the next three quarters, we'll make it up. As Ajay and Krishna talked about it, currently we see that it will be flattish in terms of the operating margins. That's what we are very confident about. But based on several things that could happen, we could definitely see more improvement than where we are today. We appreciate your confidence in us. We continue to communicate with you on all the developments. Thank you very much for participating in the call today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. On behalf of Edelweiss Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.